The Shadow of Fu Manchu. Based on the stories by Sax Roma. Successful and almost fatal attempt to trap Dr. Fu Manchu in a houseboat on the Thames, Nayland Smith and Dr. Petrie plunge into London's underworld in a desperate search of a clue to the elusive Oriental's whereabouts. Everywhere they draw blank, until Inspector Weymouth reports a mysterious occurrence at the nearby apartment of Frank West, an American aviator and inventor. There they find West under the influence of a strange drug. On being roused, he discovers the plans of his aerotorpedo missing from a locked safe. We now find Nayland Smith and Inspector Weymouth questioning the dazed inventor.
It's positively uncanny. There's only one door to your rooms, Mr. West. We found it bolted from the inside.
I bolted it myself when I came home last night.
Well, it's utterly impossible for anyone to climb up or down to your windows. You are sure, Mr. West, that the plans of your invention were locked inside that safe?
Dead sure, Mr. Smith. I put them there myself and, well, you saw me unlock it just now. Not another soul knows the combination.
Now, every fact you can remember, Mr. West, please. And be as brief as possible.
Well, I came in about 11, and having made some notes regarding an interview arranged for this morning, I took the plans out of the safe, went over them again, referring to my notes, and locked the whole works back in the safe. Then I went to bed.
You were sure no one was hidden in your rooms here?
No one. I searched the place. I always do. I went to sleep almost at once.
How many sleeping tablets did you take?
How did you know? Oh, that bottle, of course. Well, two, Doctor. It's a bad habit, but I can't sleep without them.
And then you dreamed, eh?
Dreamed. I'll say I dreamed. But when those dreams merged into reality, I saw faces. Yellow faces. One was horrible.
What do you mean by horrible?
One was evil. Yellow. With a jagged scar running from the left ear to the corner of the mouth. That twisted mouth seemed to whisper to me words.
What were they?
I swear I don't know. That face withdrew and somehow I got to my feet, or dreamed I did. You'll think I'm crazy, but I stood holding to the bed, trying to command my will, to break the power of those sleeping tablets.
And then?
Well, then the walls of the room receded till I stood in the center of a room as large as Trafalgar Square. That window was so far away, I could barely see it.
What else did you see?
An Oriental. He seemed to tower over me like a tree. I looked up to his face. I'll never forget that face as long as I live. The pointed chin, the great smooth forehead, the eyes. Huge green eyes.
Oh, I thought so. Go on, please.
Vaguely, I wondered if I was awake or dreaming. I must have spoken aloud because a strange voice said, "Yes, you are dreaming. But at will, I can render the subjective objective." I couldn't have dreamed those words, Mr. Smith.
No. What happened then?
Well, then those green, blazing eyes stared into mine, held me powerless. They seemed to drain me of something vital. The whole room seemed to turn green. Oh, I know. You think it was delirium. I thought so, too. And then, I saw words coming from my own mouth.
Eh? I think, Mr. West, you're a wee bit upset.
This'll be outside your experience, Weymouth, but his statement doesn't surprise me in the least. I know what his experience was due to. Go on, Mr. West.
How I saw a sound, I just can't explain. I simply tell you I saw it. Somehow I knew I'd betrayed myself, given something away.
You gave away the combination to your safe.
Hey, Jove, how the deuce...
Under hypnotic influence, Weymouth, the subject tells what's in his mind. I've seen it done many times in India. And then, West.
Well, then the room was empty, normal size. I dragged myself to the hall, the phone. I called Scotland Yard, and that's all I remember.
Hmm, Anderman second, Whitehead Stewart.
What was that again, Smith? Anderman? I seem to recall hearing that word somewhere.
Last night? The Oriental spoke it?
I don't know, but somewhere...
Weymouth, when's the first train to Tilbury?
By 5:22 from Fenchurch Street.
Oh, too late. We'd never make it. Look, take a taxi and pick up two of your best men to leave for Shanghai at once. Charter a special to leave for Tilbury in 25 minutes. And have another cab wait for Petrie and me downstairs at the door.
Right. I'll arrange it at once.
And now that you can think clearly, Mr. West, of what does your experience remind you?
Why...
Now, think, man, think. The errors in perception regarding time, the idea of seeing sound, the illusion of the room changing in size.
By Jove, cannabis indica, Indian hemp. You must have had an unusual dose, old man.
Exactly. It's quite evident, West, that last night someone substituted hashish tablets for your sleeping tablets. Perhaps not pure hashish. Dr. Fu Manchu is a profound chemist.
But how? When? I was here. My door was locked.
You had a visitor during the afternoon, perhaps?
Yes, in the late afternoon.
It was a lady?
Well, quite right. Well, how you guessed it. Well, anyway, a lady whom I recently met came here to ask my protection from a mysterious man who had followed her from Charing Cross. He was waiting for her down the lobby.
You say you knew the lady?
Well, I'd only met her casually a short time ago. Quite charming. An Oriental, I believe.
Her name was Kadame?
Well, yes, but how?
Beside the point, old man. You left her here alone?
Well, naturally. Well, I went down and sent the fellow about his business. At least that was my intention.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, the fellow had gone by the time I reached the lobby.
Or had never been there. And when you returned, the young lady had also left.
Yes. By George, outsmarted by a pretty woman, and I'm supposed to have been around. But just now, you mentioned someone by the name of Fu Manchu. Is that the thief I'm indebted to for the loss of my plans?
There's no doubt of it.
Well, I've had attempts made by the agents of two European governments, but an Oriental's a novelty.
This Oriental, Mr. West, is the greatest novelty of the age.
But how on thunder did he get into my rooms through locked and bolted doors?
We haven't time to explain that if we're to stop the men who have your plans. Come along, Petrie. We're going to Tilbury. There's only a bare chance of success.
Knowing something of Fu Manchu's powers, I can understand how he extracted from West the combination of his safe. But I can't see how he got into a locked apartment on the third floor.
Yes, what's your theory on that, Smith?
Haven't you two figured that out yet? Don't the peculiar tracks on the window ledge mean anything to either of you?
Well, I suppose they do furnish the key to the mystery, but how?
Have you forgotten Fu Manchu's habits, more particularly of his pets?
Well, I admit, Neil, that I'm completely at sea.
And a man couldn't climb to that window no matter how agile he may be.
How about Fu's pet marmoset?
The monkey.
By Jove, old chap, I believe you've hit it.
Yes, they were the prints of a small monkey. For a moment, I thought they were the tracks of some large bird.
Even so, I'm still in the dark.
Of course, it's guesswork, Weymouth, but here's my theory. For want of a better one, it does cover the facts. It's contrary to Fu's character to keep any creature for amusement. So the marmoset would be trained to do certain tricks.
Ah, I see what you're getting at. The monkey climbed the water spout running beside the window, eh?
Exactly. You noticed the iron bar across that window?
That's to prevent a window cleaner from falling.
Right. It was simple for the monkey to climb the water spout to that window, perhaps with a cord attached to his body, to climb to the sill over the bar and climb down again.
Of course. By means of the cord, a rope was pulled over the bar, then one of those silk and bamboo ladders. The scar-faced yellow man climbed up, unlocked the door, and enter Fu Manchu.
Hey, Joe, Petrie, it is plausible.
At least until we discover a more plausible theory, Weymouth. Once Fu was in that room, the rest was easy for him.
And Kadame was once more the decoy.
Hers was the task to learn West's habits. To substitute the hashish for his sleeping tablets and later to receive the stolen plans and deliver them to Fu's agents.
Well, she had no alternative, Nayland.
But Anderman, second Whitehead Stewart, what could she have meant by that?
The shipping news of the Times will tell you that the Anderman of the Oriental Navigation Company's line leaves Tilbury with the next tide for China. Our man is probably a white-haired second-class passenger by the name of Stewart. That should answer your question regarding this dash to Tilbury, Petrie. Why the look of disgust, Weymouth?
I'm just wondering how I ever became a CID inspector.
Mr.
Inspector Nayland Smith?
Yes, sir. You followed my telegraphed instructions, Captain?
Yes, I did. We have 9 Orientals listed as second-class passengers. One of them has a scarred face, such as you described in your wire. He's listed under the name of Ram Singh.
And the other?
Well, oddly enough, we haven't a passenger aboard in either class by the name of Stewart, and none with white hair. I'll send for Ram Singh.
If you will, please. Oh, one moment. I'll go with you. Oh, Weymouth, see that your men here understand their instructions.
Yes.
All right, Captain. Oh, by the way, do you have a steward aboard with white hair?
Let's see. Why, yes, as a matter of fact, he's the chief steward in second class.
I see. And where would he be at the moment?
Well, he'd be on the docks in charge of second-class stewards who were helping the passengers.
Oh, thanks, Captain. On second thought, I'll let you see to this Ram Singh fellow. I'll stroll about a bit. I'll see you shortly, Captain.
Here he is, sir, Ram Singh.
Well, I hope you have the right man in this fellow, Inspector, for everyone's sake. The company will have a nice suit on their hands otherwise.
I'll assume that responsibility, Captain. Oh, you are registered on the passenger list as Ram Singh. Is that your name?
It is, sir.
Mm-hmm. The papers you and your master Fu Manchu took from Mr. West's safe last night. Give them to me, please.
Papers? Mr. West? Fu Manchu? I do not understand, sir.
All right, Weymouth, search him.
Davis, Ashley, go through him and make a thorough job of it.
I appreciate your cooperation, Captain. I hope we didn't delay you too long. You may sail as soon as we leave your ship.
I suppose you're taking this fellow with you if you find what you're after.
Inspector Weymouth will take charge of him.
Well, you are right, Mr. Smith. I think this is what you want. It meets the description of the packet containing the plans as given by West.
Mm-hmm. Very clever. Petrie, our friend Fu Manchu certainly misses no detail. Oh, yes, Weymouth. This seems to be it. Well, Mr. Davis, you and Ashley have been spared a boring voyage.
We are holding this fellow?
Oh, by all means. Turn him over to Davis and Ashley. You will go back to London with us, Weymouth. We're not finished until we've returned West's plans to him. Come along. Oh, thank you again, Captain.
Well, Nayland, at last we have to our credit one victory over Fu Manchu.
Perhaps, Petrie. Perhaps.
Shadow of Fu Manchu.